read it. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Amen. Forgiving one another, not your way, but God's way. God's way is he has never reminded you of anything you've done wrong. So we don't have to remind others of what they did wrong. Amen. We just forgive them right where they are and hope that God keeps them right. The gospel according to Mark chapter number 2, and then the gospel according to Luke chapter number 23. First Mark chapter 2 will begin at verse number 8. Mark 2, verse 8. When you get there, would you stand for the reading of the word of God, if you're able? And if you're not, the word will reach you right where you are. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this divine time which you have set the table before us. We confess today that we are your body. We look to you with the head of our life, and we ask that you would come now and feed our spirits, touch our ears, our hearts, our minds, our soul, bring it all to a oneness that we may hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we are your church. And Father, as I stand here, I'm calling on you because I don't know what to do. I'm trying. But God, I need your help to move me out of the way, and that you would consecrate this vessel, that you may come and speak your oracles through it. Come now with power and let your word come forth. Because we know that the flowers will fade and the grass will wither, but the word of God is eternal. So come and give us your eternal word, for we desire to hear from you. Have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Before you sit down, before I start reading, I want to thank all of you who came over on Friday night to hear the seven last words. It was a joy to sit there and look out in the congregation and see so many that I was familiar with, that was hungering and thirsty for the word of God. Beginning with verse number 8, in this book of Mark, chapter number 2, it says, "But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, 'Why do you reason about these things in your heart? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed, and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth for forgiving sins.' He said to the paralytic, 'I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house.' Immediately he rose, he took up his bed, and he went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, 'We never saw anything like this.'" Now turn to Luke chapter 23. We never saw anything like this. Chapter 23, verse 32. And it reads, there were also two other criminals led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the night on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not, for they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots, and the people stood looking on. But even the rulers with them sneered, saying, he saves others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ, the chosen of God. The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, if you are king of the Jews, save yourself. And an inscription also was written over him in the letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. Looking back at verse number 34, then Jesus said, read that with me, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. One more time. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Amen. As we looked in Mark, and Jesus brings healing for the man who was paralyzed on his mat, he says, arise, take your mat, and walk. Through the forgiveness of sins, and then Jesus says, Father, forgive them. I want to give you a subject matter today, and I want you to meditate on this, a forgiven walk. And then tell your neighbor, walk it out. Mm-hmm. Amen. You may be seated. I believe that God would want everyone to know how powerful being forgiven is to every believer. Because we get excited about being saved, but we don't really grasp the fact that in order to be saved, first you have to be forgiven. Therefore, you have toted around baggage that doesn't belong to you. And you have been told and reminded of things that you have done wrong, and you have literally been carrying around baggages full of guilt and condemnation. And sometimes you feel that you are really unworthy to be saved. And then you're living right and you slip up and you mess up again, and guilt comes in immediately. Soon as you mess up, you get some mail. You open up the mail and it says guilty. You put the mail in your pocket and walk around with the mail. While you are trying to get rid of the mail, somebody has peeped in your mailbox and saw your mail. And they keep telling you about what you've done wrong when Jesus has already made it all right. Thereby, you keep carrying what's called shame. And then you begin to walk a walk of shame. But Jesus, when he died for all of your sins, it was for the ones yesterday, today, and forevermore. In other words, by what Jesus did, he changed the whole game. At one point, we had no Savior. We was on our way to hell in a flying saucer. We were all guilty. But when Jesus died on the cross, forgiveness was put in place and the game was changed. So no longer do you have shame. So you can walk a new walk because you got game. Now we did a campaign on game, and we looked at the acronyms and we seen that it was godliness and moral excellence, which means that you have been changed in order to take on a godly lifestyle instead of a worldly lifestyle. And the enemy tries to get you to feel guilty so that you can walk the walk of shame, but God has changed the rules. And we now have to embrace the forgiveness. And the reason why I know the church has struggled with this is because they have been damaged really, really bad. I want you to know right now that everything that happened to you, God has put enough of his power in you to restore you from the thing that almost killed you. In this particular text, there is a man who is lying on a mat and he's paralyzed, and Jesus shows up. Jesus looks at the man, and the man could not walk, but the man had a whole lot of sin that had held him down on his mat. And most of us have been held down for far too long. Amen. And have not embraced what Jesus has spoken over your life. Rise up, take your mat, and walk. The reason why he wants you to know that is there's no way for you to rise until you embrace forgiveness. Amen. Notice on the seven last words that Jesus spoke, the first words he spoke, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now check this out. They had whooped him all night long. But he understood that if he took the stripes on his back, then there will be healing left for us. And so sometimes God allows the enemy to inflict pain because he is going to use you for gain. And you don't understand that he uses unconventional ways. He does not use worldly ways to get his mission accomplished. He uses the method which works the best. And most of us would not go along with his method if he told us about it. Even Jesus had problems with it. Don't you remember he stopped in the Garden of Gethsemane and said, "Lord, take this cup from me"? Because he doesn't share everything that he's doing. But you need to know and understand that God is up to something great if he allows pain to enter into your life, because God is going to build you off the hurt that somebody else did to you. That's why he said your enemies are your footstool. Let me help you right now, because somebody's having problems forgiving somebody who hurt them. And truly, if he says that your enemies will be made to be your footstool. It is your enemy that hurt you enough that caused you to call on a God that can only heal the healing that you need because it was hurting too bad for any doctor that you went to see at a hospital. They couldn't heal that hurt. You needed to go see Jesus and have a talk with Jesus and get closer to Jesus in order to get the healing that you needed. So then, your enemies, the ones who hurt you, are really the ones who helped you. And so we understand, everybody in here understand what a footstool can do. A footstool will take you higher. There's stuff you couldn't reach before. But now that you had a few enemies in your life, some people that afflicted you, now you can reach a little more because you got another footstool to get up on. And you are, instead of being mad at them, you ought to send them a postcard and say, I forgive you and thank you, Lord, for blessing me through you. And if we understand that is power, not only are you releasing power in your own life, but you are releasing power into their life. This man was stuck in a rut because he had zero movement. He was paralyzed and on a mat. And the man was laying there, and Jesus deals with the sin issue and then tells the man, arise and walk. Now get this. He says, Father, forgive. And then later on, he's resurrected. But he was never resurrected until he first put forgiveness in place. I don't know where your next move is or what vision God has shown you where you're going up, but you're going to need to know that you're going to have to embrace the forgiving power of God and be ready to release it for whoever is in line next to hurt you. You'd be ready to forgive them because that is your fuel that's going to take you up. This man was stuck. Jesus shows up and tells the man three things. He says, number one, he says, rise up. Number two, he said, take up your mat. And number three, and go. Rise up, take your mat, and move. Jesus tells us, rise up. Well, yeah, we can rise up. But there's a problem. The problem is that we haven't taken up our mat. See, the mat speaks to whatever paralyzed you. And some of us leave the mat for comfort. You know what I mean? When somebody hurt you, well, I'll just go back over here and lay back down on my mat. You know that mat called the liquor store? That mat called a little toke? That mat called you? You don't even belong to you anymore, but you want to go back to being you when things are not going the way that you want them to. And because you have not taken up your mat, you have a place of familiarity that you feel that you can go back to and say that it's all right. So he tells the man the very thing that was keeping you stuck. Pick that up too. Some of us, the mat represents our past hurts. And so we leave them there, and then when something don't go right, we start reflecting back on all the other wrong that happened in our life. But Jesus said, no, take that with you. Because when I do what I do, it's going to heal you 100%. And unless you want to keep going back and getting stuck in the same old rut, now you're wondering why you've been going through the same cycle over and over again. It's because you keep wanting to go back to the same mat that held you paralyzed at one time. Tell your neighbor, I won't go back. I heard Charlie singing. He says, I won't go back. He said, I've been redeemed and I've been changed. And the key thing is, you're going to have to realize that you've been changed. You didn't change you. God changed you. So I dare you turn back and go back to who you want to be. If God has already changed you, you are changed. There's no reason for you to have amnesia at a moment when times get tough. You've been changed. You now are operating in the power of God, and the mat has been lifted up, and now you got to move forward. And while you're on your way forward, isn't it something that is always somebody that try to remind you of the mat? And if it ain't somebody, you're allowed the circumstance to remind you of the mat. And then you start talking about the mat. You've been changed from the mat. So why talk about the mat? We talk about things that hurt us. What glory does God get from the thing you're talking about? But if you want to really move forward, start talking about him. Yeah. Instead of talking about the mat, talk about the Jesus that showed up into your life when you tore up from the flow up and couldn't move and paralyzed by life and demented by the wall, and God spoke into your life and you rose up with all power because you didn't have no power. It was his power that raised you up. Take your mat and go. Don't leave that stuff where you could fall back on it. You know, I remember when God saved me. I jumped up one night. It was about 3:30, coldest December ever in 1992. You can look up the stats, but in California, it was the coldest December ever, and I fell asleep. I woke up and I was sweating and running at the same time, and I ran. I was screaming and crying. I'm running. My uncle said, "Man, what's wrong?" I said, "I don't know." He said, "You all right?" I said, "No, I'm not all right." I ran to my room and I had a Bible by my nightstand. Bible had all kind of dust on it because I never read it. But I knew that there was a God because my mama kept me in Sunday school. My dad dropped me off every Sunday. I wasn't getting the word, but it was getting me. And I jumped up and I ran and I got the Bible and I opened it up. I don't know why. God, you know how when God puts a move on you, you just move. I rose up. I ran up. I read the word and it said, I said, "God, what's wrong?" He said, "Before you was in your mother's room, I anointed you. I chose you and anointed you to be a prophet to the nation." I stopped reading and said, "God, are you telling me that you calling me to preach?" He said, "Keep reading." I said, "I don't even know how to understand the Bible." He said, "Keep reading." He says, "You just go, and I'm going to put my word in your mouth. Don't say you're only a youth. Because this is not about you. This is about me." I said, "Oh, I don't know what to do." And I shut the Bible, started crying. Next morning I got up and I was changed. That's why when the song, they were singing that song, "I've Been Changed." I knew I didn't do it. Because there was no way. I went to bed selling drugs and smoking drugs. I woke up, I didn't want nothing to do with drugs. But check this out. I still had a mat. So I went and I got my scale. I put all my stuff. I got all my magazines. And I bagged it up. And I put it in the closet. And I said, "God,
If you're not real, I'm going to go back to that mat. And that's what some of us do. But I'm here to tell you, you might as well pick up the mat right about now, because your God is for real. He has made a move in your life, and it's him that has made the chain. No, you don't have it all together, but you have him who's holding it all together. He's the chief cornerstone, holding everything all together. People were calling me and come on back. You good at it. You got a few calls too. You know, people try to encourage you to do wrong and go back to who you used to be. I told them, I don't know. I can't go back. And I, at the same time, I'm got my mat in the closet. That Friday was garbage day. I woke up at 5 a.m. at the sound of the garbage truck. The Lord said, get that bag out of your closet. That was my mat. I walk back to the closet, because if you're going to be with God, you're going to have to trust him. Ain't no use to holding on to a mat that kept you paralyzed. You might as well let that go, because that thing will never help you. I went back to the closet. I grabbed it, and I'm running down the stairs to beat the garbage man. I got down to the door. The garbage truck driver was standing out there with one hand leaning on the garbage truck with the biggest smile on his face and his other hand out waiting on the bag. Now that's God. And I'm going out there and tears just rolling down my face. And I handed him the bag and he said, thank you, son. And I knew right then that this was a move of God. And I want you to know right now, God is moving in your life. And he says he is not going to move any further without you. He's taking you the rest of the way. Let go of that mat. That mat will never be able to help you again. Say, I'm on the move. Jesus shows us on the cross as he is getting nailed to the cross. He says, Father, as everything that had happened to him, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I learned that the Bible says, vengeance are mine, says the Lord. He also says it would be better for someone to put a millstone around their neck and jump into the sea than to mess with one of mine. Therefore, if you know that you're one of his, you ought to be ready to forgive. Because if anybody messes with you or one of yours, they know not what they do. The forgiving power has been released in your life so that you can release it in somebody else's life. We jump, we shout about the resurrection and what Christ did for us, but what Christ did for us is done for us. And so we ought to be celebrating all the time, each and every day, whether it looks bad or whether it looks good. It's a celebration moment. Why? Because it's a done work. It's a finished work, and there's no way for your end to end except for V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. And there's no other way to put it except for victory. And everybody in here ought to be walking a different walk instead of walking a walk of shame. You ought to walk a walk of forgiveness. Amen. Now I thought about this for a minute, because the first thing that happens when we do wrong, we put our head down, and that's shame. And my son, he messed up a couple weeks ago, and the Lord reminded me, he messed up. And I said, Armani, don't do that. What made you do that? He said, Dad, I'm sorry. I said, no, it's okay, but what made you do that? He looked at me, and he put his head down. Every time he put his head down, his walk changes. When he knows that he's walking in line with me, he walks like this. But when he does something wrong, he walks like this. His walk changed. And most of us, when things are going great, we have a great walk. And when things are not going great, according to our own eyes, we have a different walk. But our walk should be consistent always. Because in the story, the Bible says that when the man began to walk according to the word, because the word told him to walk, when he started walking according to the word, the people were amazed. I got a question to ask you. Are people amazed at the way you walk? Are you walking one way one day and a whole nother way another day? Or are people talking about, why is this joker smiling all the time? Why is this person so happy all the time? I see this going. I see him losing this. What's wrong with this person that he's just so happy all the time? That joker walk like he owned the world. That joker is broke as a joke. But look at his walk. And they talking about your life, that you are walking a walk of unforgiving power. This man took, when Jesus spoke, he was ordered. He had to change his walk. That's why the people were amazed, because Jesus told him to walk. Now it's time for us to stop being disobedient, because he has told you to walk. When he died on the cross and forgave you of your sin, that opened up the door to make you his sonship. Now you have power. So then, when we have this power, it should change our walk. Because he's commanded. Now get this. Psalms 37, 23. Because you need to know and understand that you can't take no credit for this walk. Oh, yeah. Oh, I changed, honey. You didn't change. If you changed, then I'm not going to get used to it, because you're going to change back. But if you've been changed, even when you want to go back, I can't go back. You can't go back, because you've been changed. And if you've been changed, your walk has to change. That's why God wanted you to hear this word today. Because as Christ's been resurrected, you've been resurrected too. And your walk has to look like Christ's walk, because you ought to walk in victory. You got to walk in power. And you got to walk in authority, because you didn't change you. Jesus changed you. Psalms 37, how do I know? How do I know? Verse 23, how do I know that your walk is not up to you? When Jesus saved you, he didn't leave it up to you. That's why I don't judge people. Because I'm going to tell you something right now, people are going to mess up. I don't care how holy you are, you're going to mess up. Jesus said, all will be made to stumble. That includes all. So our walk, watch this. Our walk is, listen, it's not in our control. Say, I belong to God. Your walk is not in your control. But if you're obedient, you will see the power being released through your life. Watch this. The steps of a good man, Jesus says, there is none good except the Father. I and the Father are one. the Father in me, and I in him, and you in us. So then he brings the whole goodness to the ones that he have chosen. So once he dies for you and he chooses you and you have been forgiven, then he begins to order your step. He told the man to walk. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Once he made you good through the nature of the Spirit that dwells in you, then your steps begin to be ordered by God. So then, when you want it to go over to that other person's house and cuss them out, because greater is he that is in you, you wasn't able to go with your little crazy mind. The Lord ordered your steps, and sometimes he'll order your steps right over to somebody else who believes. And then when you two come together where you are weak, that one helps you get strong. And then they tell you, oh, you can't go there. Your steps are ordered by God. The promises of God are over your life. And then you don't even want to go anymore. It just took a reminder. And God said, I won't put more on you than you could bear. He will always have someone in your life that will help you get back to the ways of God, because he's ordering your steps. I wanted to go back to the club, but when I was headed for the club, I remember I jumped in my Corvette. I remember it like it was yesterday. I turned off of Jackson, hit 280, and I was headed for the club because somebody had did me wrong, but God had already did me right. My tire blew out. I was stuck on the freeway. I got all dirty because my Corvette, who had brand new tires on it, and God said, you won't go back because I have you. Said, not only does he order your step, and he delights in his way. You know, the world will want you to get mad at people. I just want to know the truth. Anybody been done wrong by some people? Just tell the truth. I don't want you to raise your hand this time. Anybody been mad at the people that did them wrong? Man. Now I got a question for you. Did getting mad at them help you? Getting mad at them didn't do nothing but hurt you. Most of the people you got mad at and you still mad at, they're over there, they're having a good time somewhere else. They don't even know you mad. You ever have some people in your life be mad at you and you don't know? And then when they tell you they're mad at you, you're like, what? You've been carrying that around all that time? Oh, I didn't even know I did that. Embracing forgiveness will cause you to do what Jesus did. See your resurrection. He knew what was determined for his life. He would be resurrected, and he would resurrect others. Through the hurt and the pain that he went through, he sent forgiveness so that resurrection would be put in place. What does that mean? If you forgive, you are setting up resurrection for the person you're forgiving. They might be a drug addict, but we don't want to talk about the drug addict. We want to talk about the delivering power of God. They might be a liar. They might even be a cusser. You know, so-and-so just cuss, and he be at church every Sunday. Good for him. The truth of the matter is most of you cuss. I knew I wouldn't get an amen there. And if you don't cuss, you did. But that has nothing to do with God's promises on your life. We don't want them as a part of our church. He left another church. So did you. Oh, he won't live right. He's just denying Christ. He just want to live his way. So did you. Me too. But check this out. So did Peter. And Jesus says, upon this rock, I'll build my church. He said, this cusser, I'm going to make a preacher. Huh? This one that denied me, I'm going to make him lead the way for others. He said, this is the one that I could really use because he's the one that needs the most help. And the one that needs the most help, when I help them out, they'll understand that I'm the biggest God that could ever be. And so then his walk was determined by his love for the one that helped him out the most. Is there anybody in here who has been helped out by God, forgiven for all the stuff that you've done, the stuff you confessed, the stuff you didn't confess? There's some stuff that only you and God know about, and you have been forgiven for all of that stuff. I'm so happy that God forgave me that I'm ready to forgive the first one that offends me. As a matter of fact, it's not even an offense against you. It's an offense against God. So then, our walk has to change. Because he's forgiven us. And when others offend you, do you know that there wouldn't be no relationships without forgiveness? Every relationship gets better when there's forgiveness. And we've been stuck for too long. You have way too much power based on just forgiving. The next move from forgiveness is rise up. That's what Jesus wanted us to know. You're forgiven, you're going up. When you forgive, they're going up. That's why when Jesus was on the cross, he was forgiving because his thought pattern was about us. He wanted to release the power over our life. Now help me with this one. There is some things that has been going against in our families and we have been unforgiving. And listen, you want to see better for everybody, but you're holding them back because you are holding unforgiveness in your heart for what they did. Yeah, they did it. And it hurt. But who the Spirit sets free is free indeed. Is there anybody in here that knows that they're free? What Christ did was so powerful that it was going in all directions. When he was on the cross and he said, I forgive, forgiveness went everywhere. It went down into the ground where folks have been buried. The Bible says that when he died on the cross because he had released forgiveness, that he went down into the ground and to get the keys and unlock those and put forgiveness in place for those who were already dead.
and then put forgiveness in place for all of us who wasn't even born. That's how much power forgiveness is. By you forgiving others, you put blessings on your family for generations deep. Here's the bad news. When you have unforgiveness, you hold a curse on family. And they stay stuck because of unforgiveness. You were called and given power and authority. You can go in and change situations and change generations based on forgiveness. Now, I know this. There's some people in here who have suffered horrendously by acts of other people's hands that have hurt you and caused you to be paralyzed in areas of your life. And you haven't embraced forgiveness, and you walk around with it, and it's in the back of your mind, but you need to be free so that you could walk this walk that Jesus tells you to walk with power and authority and confidence, because you're healed and you're free from it. And all you have to do is embrace what Christ has given you. The freedom is in receiving the forgiveness. Once you receive it, it automatically makes you release it. And you've been stuck for too long. And there's things about you that don't nobody know about. Suffered at the wrong hands. But God says, I got you. And I want you to forgive them. Because the call on your life is so great, I trusted you with such a great pain. I'm talking about the kingdom of God being released through your life. It happens through forgiveness. People are going to do you wrong. It is what it is. But they didn't mean it because they don't know. And here's how I know. I didn't ask you this, but I know everybody in here has done some wrong to somebody. And most of the wrong you did, you say, I'll never do that again, because now you know. And what Christ wants you to do is come to know him through the forgiveness that he has given you. So we can release that power and walk that walk. Is there anybody in here who's ready to walk in the kingdom living?